Howdy! Welcome back to North Idaho Now. This is episode 139. That's 139 coming at you. Chance Watson and Molly Roberts.
Hi!
Coming at you with the news today. And this episode is brought to you by Bank CDA. Loans are quick and easy when you work with the only local bank in North Idaho. You want local, you want flexible, you want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com. They have a, I think, actually, they're going to be the only branch in Kellogg here pretty soon.
Yeah.
With another bank uptown closing.
Closing down.
Yeah. For our Shoshone County listeners out there. Out in Kootenai County, y'all got plenty of banks.
Yeah, you guys, don't have to worry in there, but.
Not a problem.
Here in the Silver Valley, we are a little lacking in the banks, but.
Molly, I'll dive right into my hockey stuff first.
Okay.
To get that out of the way.
Blade right into your
yes,
hockey stuff.
Yes, skating right into it. The Colorado Avalanche are on to the Stanley Cup. And because of forever, before the Seattle Kraken were a thing, Colorado Avalanche were one of the two closest cities that had teams to North Idaho and Spokane, that kind of thing. So a lot of Colorado Avalanche fans up here.
Makes sense.
So a lot of excited fans up here right now. They're moving on. They're going to play either the Tampa Bay Lightning, which also had a lot of fans up here because Tyler Johnson played for them, Spokane boy.
Okay.
And also the New York Rangers, who are an original six team and just have a very solid fan base with lots of famous celebrities who follow them around.
Nice.
It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah.
The Avalanche swept the Edmonton Oilers in four games, which is surprising considering Edmonton has probably the greatest player in hockey. And it's not, that's not my opinion. It's kind of like generally accepted that Connor McDavid. It's kind of generally accepted that he is the best hockey player alive right now. Maybe not all around. Maybe there's some better defensive players or something.
Sure.
But, you know, he's the best.
He's the best.
And getting swept, you'd think at least he could probably steal one game. But when you have no other teammates, really, it can make that difficult.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So excited for the Stanley Cup final. Kind of excited. I love the Stanley Cup final. It's fun to watch, but. I don't really have a dog in the race.
Right. Yeah.
I don't dislike any of the teams that are in. We'll put it that
way. There you go. That almost makes it, I mean, not as exciting, though, too. Like, if there was a team that you were like, I want them to lose, like, you'd have more of a kind of motivation to watch.
But, yes, absolutely. That's the way that goes.
It'll still be a good. Is it a match with hockey?
Game.
Thank you.
Game. Yep.
I knew that, of course.
And obviously.
Kind of a sports gal.
Hashtag sports gal.
Hashtag sports gal.
Yep.
I like sports and I don't care. Who knows? Football, football.
And Andy Samberg coming in with the cease and desist.
The Lonely Island is coming out. And last week, I think we did a lot of Chip and Dale.
Yes, we did. Oh, yeah.
You know what? Fine. Come for me, Andy Samberg.
Bring it on, Andy.
Bring it on, baby.
I think he's got other things going on at the moment.
He's pretty busy.
Now, the other members of the Lonely Island, not so sure. But
They might come send after us. Some of them, one of them after us.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
All right.
I can't remember their names.
I know I can't either.
It's just off my... Andy's the one.
Oh, well, I did a lot of, I feel like lately I've been back into, there was just a period there where I just didn't, I didn't want to watch anything really.
Sure. We all go through those moments.
Exactly. Where right. It's like, you can still watch your kind of comfort things, right? Yep. But anything new, it's like, no thank you. Where then I pretty recently got back into it where I was like, nope, I'm good. I can watch newer things, newer shows. Mm. You and I both watched the first three episodes that are out of
The Boys.
The Boys.
For season three.
Yes.
Is that right? Is that season three?
Season three.
Okay, right.
No spoilers.
No.
For those of you that are not into, how would you
gore?
Describe? Yeah. Gore.
Just a comical
dark humor.
Amount. Yeah, a comical amount of gore.
You would not like The Boys. However, if you're into that,
if you are into superheroes not necessarily being the greatest people in the world,
yes.
Think of the Avengers, but not.
They're all corrupt.
Yeah,
most of them. Not
right.
all of them.
They're
like one or two.
They're humans. You know, like
there we
with
go.
The Avengers, yes. Everybody's, you know, very moral, and mm-hmm. even when like there's civil war,
exactly.
They're all doing it from their own moral high ground kind of thing,
right? Whereas, they're not just tearing heads off of people. Which
sure, you're right.
Is, yeah,
yeah. Oh, there's we can't even say the things on the show. There's no way.
I was happy with the first three episodes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The acting unit is solid.
Happy is, I suppose, a weird right. word to, maybe not happy. I was riveted entertained mm-hmm. by the first three
episodes. It's a really good show.
Episodes. It is a really good
Isn't
show.
Isn't it based off of like a graphic novel?
Oh, yes. Which is even darker than the show. I've read most of the graphic novel mm-hmm. and I could not believe, I was like, how is this darker? How is this more disturbing than the show? But in it, so if you're into disturbing and dark mm-hmm, things, mm-hmm, listeners, mm-hmm. I was going to say I'm a little bit less disturbing.
Sure.
I also watched most of the most recent season of Stranger Things.
Oh,
I wasn't super into the third season.
Nope.
But I heard.
The one with the mall.
The one with the mall.
Yeah, like the one with the mall.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine, and mm-hmm. I watched it, but mm-hmm. it just felt, I don't know. And
it felt
and
like
other
they
people that
were...
I've talked to had the same, yeah.
It felt like they were trying to change things. So, like, when, like, I feel like writers, like, especially, like, Hollywood writers, they'll mm-hmm. get into this idea of, like, you know, if we keep doing the same thing over and over, it's going to get stale.
Right.
And I understand that to a degree.
Definitely.
But at the same time, like, there's a reason why what you're currently, like...
You can't change it.
There's a reason why there
much.
Was like a billion seasons of Friends.
That's a very good point. Right.
Okay, it's the same.
Well, I just mentioned comfort shows. That's a big reason why I feel like The Office, like Parks and Rec.
It's the same thing.
Predictable. It's
right.
the same.
But
I mean,
that's,
in
but that's
a way,
why I go back.
Exactly. Right. So right. Changing things up too much.
It's like I don't want Star Trek the reality show. And you're
right.
Like, no,
yes.
No,
like,
it's not.
Let's back it up. A
you don't understand
bit there.
How this works, right? Star Wars the game show.
Right.
And it's like no,
like, no.
Like you can't just stamp Star Wars on anything
and make it
and expect me to like it.
Right. Yes. The Ewok holiday special or whatever they had.
or the sequels.
But season four, I have not watched the last episode.
Okay.
However, I have liked it. Oh,
is it a return to greatness?
I do. Okay. And the Chance and I are Dungeons and Dragons fans.
We are.
And the D&D aspect is very
me more recent. I definitely don't want it, when people start like getting a hold of me like, oh, did you like edition
right.
5
we are
I'm very very new to it.
We are right me too. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. But we are, you know, we roll the dice.
Dungeon Curious,
yeah. And that aspect, because I don't feel like in season 3 that aspect was very big.
No, in fact, quite the opposite. Like, there's
Which
a shouting match between two of the main characters about them not playing D&D.
Yeah, and so. They do bring it back
okay.
in this one,
sure.
which I really like.
Sure.
And it's a little bit scarier, too, which
I don't
like.
Mind that. Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah. So I was impressed with the fourth season of Stranger Things.
I'll have to take a look mm-hmm, at it. I'll watch mm-hmm. that. I watched the first episode of The Orville.
Right? Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane's third season.
Okay, yeah.
Seth MacFarlane's Star Trek ripoff. But
gosh, it's so good.
But in many ways is more true to Star Trek than, you know, the actual Star
right.
Trek's coming
mm-hmm.
out right now. Talking about Discovery and Picard that are just...
Oh boy! Yeah,
they did my boy Jean-Luc wrong.
Oh no, poor Picard.
I'm just gonna pretend that it never happened.
Okay,
and
that didn't happen.
Like the sequels,
right?
But in fact, Picard and the Star Wars sequels all happened in a universe a long time ago, far, far away from.
Yes. We're in a small box, and far away in the universe, shot from a rocket into
Man.
The.
Oh,
yikes!
Yeah, that is.
But the Orville's bad. Good.
The Orville is good and is very funny. You don't have to be a hardcore sci-fi fan to enjoy The Orville. It is a good show. I had a good time with it.
I feel like from remembering and I haven't watched, you know, everything that Seth MacFarlane has done, mm-hmm. but I do feel like it shows his wit Yes. And his intelligence, I feel like. Yes. Like, I mean, and it's still goofy and it's still, sure. you know, but, you know, compared to Family Guy, American Dad, Ted,
right.
those are like
right. irreverent.
Yes.
Yeah. It's supposed
Whereas
to be kind
this
of.
This is a little, it's intelligent. It's more, it's smarter.
Yes. Very much so.
Yes.
Well, and he's trying to
Wittier.
Find. That's
yes.
why he's trying to find like the essence of original Star Trek.
Exactly.
Because he's a huge Star
exactly.
Trek fan.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Right. Where it's not. It's reverent. Yes, it
yes.
is still reverent. It's not just this hokey, goofy satire
sure.
like a scary movie
right.
sort of
right.
over
it's not
the
like
top.
It's definitely
yeah.
an honorable ode to
yes.
Star Trek, not a
mm-hmm.
not a goofy parody.
Yeah.
That you know, low budget kind of stuff.
Other good news
yeah.
for you and I.
Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows
Ooh,
was recently.
Yes.
It's coming out with its... Fourth?
I want to say it's fourth season, yeah. Third or fourth season.
And then
season.
I think it was just renewed for 5 and 6 as well,
mm.
I saw.
It's such
so
a great show.
Everyone,
if you are not
I
watching
would
what we
recommend
do in the
What We Do in the Shadows for everyone.
Yeah, it is. It's
absolutely
a broad
everyone.
Range.
It is.
Probably not maybe the best family.
Maybe not. That's true. That's
you know,
true. Okay,
maybe.
Okay. Dialing it back a little bit, yes.
It's definitely like PG-13.
Yes. That's true. I sometimes forget
yeah.
people have small children.
Right. I forget children exist sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone. Yeah. Pre-watch it and see if you are okay watching it in front of
sure.
your children. However, oh my, it is... It's one of the funniest shows.
Speaking of G-rated stuff, what is Chippendale Rescue Rangers, the movie, rated at?
I'm sure it's...
Is it one of the... Because our research department told us previously that it was, like, made very much for nostalgia.
Right.
So maybe it's tailored to people our age and not kids, whereas, you know, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, we were definitely
PG.
Watching. PG. PG. Okay. All right. Well, nowadays...
It maybe has a butt in there,
a
you
butt.
Know.
A butt. Butts.
Butts.
What? Then you could never watch anything from Bob's Burgers ever.
No.
Mm. Sorry, I just burned my mouth on my coffee. Burned my mouth with my coffee. I just recently.
Oh yes, in recent chance news,
mm-hmm,
we're
yes.
trying to save money.
I don't know if you guys know this, but gas is really expensive. Well, everything's really expensive right now.
Yeah.
So
everyone, gas is about $5 in the Silver Valley. I truly almost lost my mind.
And I was out in Coeur d'Alene yesterday too. It was even higher.
Oh.
It's peaking over now. So trying to cut costs, trying to sorry all the coffee stands that I frequent.
I feel like we're trying to
stomach coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Chance and I we
frequent
a lot of caffeine and we frequent
yeah.
the local coffee stands and yeah, I think for the month of June, I'm going to need to dial it back a little bit.
Definitely going to hit the coffee pot a little more here.
Yeah,
save some money.
Chance
found a good combo.
Found a good combo.
That I can finally stomach.
So, Chance and I in the office are drinking coffee with some Nesquik and the original creamer.
The original creamer, like the toffee type of
so thing. That is now the drink of the office. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know if Josh is going to try it out. If research department
maybe not.
Will,
who knows?
We'll make him.
Doesn't he just? He's
try
a psychopath
this drink.
That just drinks it black. I think. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe I'm wrong.
Oh boy.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I usually just get him. I usually get him fancy coffees from.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Oh boy, Molly.
Well,
is there anything else that we need to? How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Rained a lot.
Good. It did rain a lot. Gosh, today, though, is beautiful.
It is.
I was driving to work, and it does just put me in a better mood.
I'm going to do my very best to try to get out there and get some sun.
Yes.
That day, I think it was either Sunday or Saturday or Sunday. It was Sunday, where it, like, rained, and then it was sunny, and then it rained, and it was sunny,
mm-hmm.
and it rained, and it was sunny. I tried to, like, in early afternoon, I was riding my bike, and I made it to my destination fine.
Yeah.
On the way back, though, definitely got soaked. Just absolutely rained on.
That's just, yeah.
But it wasn't too bad because it was warm out.
Okay.
So, like, it was
that
not.
That is better.
Yeah, it wasn't
it's
the worst
not
thing
like
in the
you're,
world.
You're soaked and you're wet. Yeah, that's
free,
true.
And you're freezing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah, when it's raining and it's warm, that's not as bad.
No.
It's refreshing and kind of nice. So okay.
Increases the humidity a bit, though, and I'm not used to that.
Yeah, Silver Mountain here in the Valley, they opened up the bike park this weekend. The hardcore bikers, they were up there. Mm-hmm. Couldn't see me up there, but listeners, I'm not a hardcore biker. I'm a bit of a sports gal now, but
sports gal.
Hardcore biker, well, hardcore blader.
Molly, we need to get that.
Watch out.
Actually, there might be an event that we might need to blade up to here that we're going to talk about in the show.
Mm.
You'll see. We'll get there. We'll get there. All right, let's move into some news. But first, Hecla Mining Company is a leading low-cost silver producer with operating silver mines in Alaska, Idaho, and Mexico, and is a growing gold producer with operating mines in Quebec, Canada, and Nevada. They're the largest primary silver producer in the U.S., responsible for one-third of the silver produced in our nation. Their philosophy is to operate mines safely by promoting a deeply rooted value-based culture, leveraging mining skills developed over the company's long history, and by innovating new practices. To learn more about Hecla Mining Company, please visit heclamining.com. You can also see on heclamining.com where all their open job postings are, which I know that the Lucky Friday is definitely hiring out in Mullen. Pays good, folks. Go out there if you're looking to fight the crab people.
What are you and I doing here, Chad?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind fighting some crab people.
No.
Sounds fun to me. All right, let's move into Coeur d'Alene Post Falls Press headlines, starting with Saturday, June 4th. Sheriff criticizes justice building expansion. This is by K. Thorn Brew. Coonie County Sheriff Bob Norris said he wants the county commissioners to spend federal funds to expand the jail rather than for the justice building located on the county's main campus in Coeur d'Alene. But federal guidelines state the funds can't be used that way. Coonie County has been allocated a $32 million share of federal funds through the American Rescue Plan Act, which is significantly less than the $99 million sum of requests the county agencies, including the sheriff's office, have made for the money. Per federal guidelines, ARPA dollars are to be used for the direct or indirect response to the COVID-19 public health emergency. In April, the county's ARPA task force presented to the Board of County Commissioners its final recommendations on how to spend the funds. The task force developed an evaluation plan to define the process used to make recommendations, then scored eligible projects based on that metric. Of 44 projects deemed eligible for ARPA funding, 13 were recommended to receive full or partial funding, including $22 million of the Board of County Commissioners for an addition to the Justice Building. For more on that, you can go to the www.kcgov.us/997/American Rescue Plan Act. You can see all the full language there. The task force recommended that the county spend a little more than $27 million of the available $32 million, setting the rest aside for future waves of COVID-19 or additional requests. Commissioner Bill Brooks, meanwhile, objects to spending $22 million to expand the justice building. The expansion would add 3 courtrooms, as well as a secure detention area and office space for the Coonie County Sheriff's Office, district court employees, prosecutors, and other county staff. In its report, the ARPA task force said the additional facilities will enable the court to fully address the case backlog caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Norris said he believes the funds would be better spent on law enforcement. With the sheriff saying that's very out of character. Well, I believe that putting a $24 million remodel in the most congested area of Kootenai County is not the best interest of the taxpayers, Norris said. The justice building expansion would receive $22 million of ARPA funding if the commissioners approve. KCSO reportedly requests a little more than $21 million in ARPA funds to be used for several projects, including completing 2 unfinished pods at the jail. The expansion project, which would add more than 100 bunks to the overcrowded facility, received the second highest evaluation score. But rules set by the U.S. Treasury specifically prohibit ARPA funds to expand jail capacity in response to an increased crime rate or a need for physical distancing. The task force determined the jail project poses a, quote, significant risk of being disallowed by the U.S. Treasury. Norris said he doesn't believe the proposed jail expansion violates any rules, adding that, quote, many Idaho counties have committed ARPA funds to building or expanding jails. He cited Bonneville County as an example. When the ARPA funds are spent, however, it's unclear how the sheriff's office could maintain higher wages. Villios has previously emphasized that increased funds must come from a reoccurring source, such as a levy, and not from county savings. County leaders are considering whether to let the sheriff's office ask voters for additional funding in the form of a permanent override levy, which could appear on the ballot in November. Though Norris has initially said he was open to the idea of a levy, he said Friday he believes now is the wrong time. Quote, we need to have a conversation with our state leaders, he said. Part of that conversation is property taxes. Part of it's sale tax. Wherever the funding comes from, Norris said, completing the unfinished jail expansion is critical. Quote, jail doesn't meet the growing needs of this county, he said. So I think that there's, this is one of those situations where I think everybody's right.
The
population's growing and you need to grow the infrastructure around it. Yes. And this is the, you know, the governmental infrastructure to keep the county going. Mm-hmm. Many times over, like the courts and stuff like that, especially with COVID. I don't doubt for a second that those need to be renovated.
Definitely.
100%. Like I've seen all that stuff firsthand. The DMV like got a remodel. That needs to be done. Right. And I also think that Sheriff Norris is correct that the jail also needs to be expanded. I think that we're growing. It's just that's basic facts of it all.
Yes.
And when you have more people coming here, you're going to get there's just more people going into jail. It's just going to happen. So unfortunately it doesn't sound like money can go to everybody.
Right.
I don't necessarily know that. I mean, if the U.S. Treasury says it specifically can't go to jail expansion, necessarily know what Sheriff Norris thinks he's going to be able to get out of that. Because the Treasury says no, you know,
I don't quite understand that part where he's saying, no, this does not violate any rules.
Right. I don't know. Okay. We'll see.
I don't know.
I don't know enough about ARPA funds. I hope that everybody gets the money to be able to do the expansions that we need.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a Miss America answer right there.
I want world peace.
that's kind of where I come down on it. Like, right. I'm not disagreeing with the sheriff here. I definitely think the jail needs to be expanded.
Yes.
But I also do think that the other aspect of that, when these people are jailed, mm-hmm. they have to go to court.
Right.
And I've written many stories about how, you know, it's all backed up. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I don't doubt that either. So it's a tough situation.
It is a tough situation.
Mm-hmm. All right, Molly, what do we got?
Public comments, invocations on council agenda. This is by Bill Bewley. The Coeur d'Alene City Council will meet Tuesday and consider a new policy on accepting public comments and will discuss its longstanding practice of an opening prayer before each meeting. Mm. The council may limit comments to Coeur d'Alene residents only, Kootenai County residents only, or leave things as they are and accept comments from anyone wishing to address the council. Part of me wants them to just let anyone come in. Mm-hmm. Anyone at all. Council members will also look at limiting comments to items that are on the agenda only. As it stands, during the public comment period, a person can bring forth any subject they like.
See, okay, I kind of side with this second one. Like, I just think of myself just to be that contrarian person walking in and be like reading, you know, fan fiction or something like that. Like,
exactly. What is the term oh, gosh dang it, in politics, where you just get up and...
Oh, you're filibustering.
Filibustering. I'm just going to filibuster
City Council everyone. Members, I would like you to tell me what you think of my new...
This is my Twilight fanfiction, right? Which Bella falls in love with Jacob.
Yes. It's an alternate reality. And I would like the council's words on this.
Thank you. And then I will pray.
And then I'd like you to put the books in the time capsule.
Right.
That is a Parks and Rec reference right there.
All right.
Okay.
A proposed policy on comments were requested by Mayor Jim Hammond. The city has had numerous people who don't live in Coeur d'Alene offer their opinions on everything from American Rescue Plan Act funds to growth issues and Art Commission members. Yes, we've read some of these. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some of those meetings have led to heated verbal exchanges and outbursts from people. Councilman Dan Gookin said at the May 23rd General Services Committee meeting, he opposed limiting public comment. Quote, I think this is wrong. It's a bad move. Councilwoman Kiki Miller said, quote, I almost agree with Dan, but not quite. She said it should be discussed by the full council and there should be some guidelines and policies on public comment. Quote, limitations for public comment is difficult in my view. Councilman Woody McEvers said he liked the current practice of letting anyone speak during public comment time. Quote, it doesn't seem like anything is real pressing. Other than a few times people get a little out of sorts with us. But I think the mayor controls it real well, McEvers said. It's called respect. That's why we're in Idaho, isn't it? The council is also scheduled to discuss whether to continue having invocations before its meetings. The Kootenai County Ministerial Association has long handled the scheduling of pastors, all Christians, to give the opening prayer. The city recently took over the scheduling to give other faith leaders a chance to participate. Pastor Paul Van Noy, president of the association, said he believed the city was opening itself to legal challenges. If, for example, a witch or Satanist wanted to give the invocation and was denied the opportunity and therefore curse everyone,
I would pay money to watch a witch or satanic invocation.
Honestly.
That would be...
Why are we... Well, that's, I know why they're trying right to there. Shut like, this just, down, obviously, but...
just from the... I'm neither of those things.
Right.
Well, I can't be a witch. That's what's the male?
A warlock.
A warlock. Yeah, I'm not a warlock.
Chance isn't a witch. He's a warlock.
Or a Satanist. But just for the entertainment value alone of that.
I know. Unfortunately, that's my. I'm like, okay, for an entertainment value, sure. Yeah, let's open it up to anyone.
Like that might be the very first
absolutely
city council meeting
anyone.
That I went to. Like, because I wanted to go.
I'm excited
right.
about this.
Like,
exactly.
You guys want to go to the? You guys want to go to the city council meeting tonight? Like, it's going to be a Satanist invocation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta
see this.
Yeah, I've got to see this. City Attorney Randy Adams, in an analysis, wrote, quote, "The city's current process for inviting person to give a prayer or invocation before city council meetings is non-discriminatory, and the guidelines developed by staff, which prohibit the degeneration of other religions and proselyte.
It's a good question.
Proselytition.
There you go.
Thanks. Is consistent with Supreme Court precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, I do not believe the Pastor Van Noy's concerns are justified from a legal standpoint. Adams wrote that invocations before daily sessions of Congress have been the custom since 1789. Well, let's not change anything from 1789 to 2022. Oh, pause. What was it?
It is. Should be going.
Proselytization.
Okay, I still can't even say it.
Yeah, that still sounds like it's a made-up word.
That's a made-up word. They're all made up.
True. that is true. That is Thanks, right. Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we sort of got...
Let's do real quick...
Somewhat serious.
Yeah. Okay.
Discussion.
Okay. As far as limiting public comments.
Yes. Yes.
I think this is a perfect example of a disagreement where we can find middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, like completely cracking down onto just residents or something like that. I think that might be a little too extreme.
Especially, I mean, right.
But I do
the
think
communities are so close.
Sure.
I understand.
But I
right.
do but I do like the idea of like if somebody like it, we were joking about it, but if somebody comes in there that is completely off topic, like on a soapbox
right.
just using it to
yes.
preach something or just say talk about nonsense,
exactly.
completely off topic, like I think the council should have the ability to be able to excuse that person
yes.
and move along
I agree.
or stop
of
them
course.
Altogether from coming on.
Yes.
So I think that there's a good enough middle ground there because as, you know, it's like two things ingrained in me from like being a North Idaho a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like on one hand, like I want people to have the freedom of speech to be able to talk to their government officials. But at the same time, I don't want to waste taxpayer dollars
also
and
true.
Have my city councilors sit there for 9 hours.
Listening to nonsense.
Right, exactly.
Right,
so,
that doesn't help anyone.
Exactly.
You're right, exactly.
And those
it burns
people,
out the people.
And all those people are doing is making a very slow bureaucratic process even
right.
slower. So
that's a very good point.
Right.
Exactly.
So I think that there's
right.
middle
from
ground
from an entertainment
here.
Value.
Sure. So
invite
again,
anyone. Let the witches, the Satanists,
sure.
the Christians, the Mormons, anyone come on in and however. Right. From
so
a,
and as far as the invocation goes, I think we're getting to the point where this is just going to end up them not doing invocations because.
They're not going to be able
you,
to agree
right,
on
right.
Right,
when
exactly.
you can't agree,
you can't
on,
find
like,
a middle ground.
You have to open it.
You're
the only way that it's fair is if you open
Satanists.
It up to everybody.
Exactly.
That's the only way that it's fair.
Right.
So yep. In this case, it's Christians, but whomever would have the problem with, you know, sharing the stage, so to speak, mm-hmm. with another group, mm-hmm. if they can't get along, then we're just going to take it away.
And they feel like they talked about that. And yeah there was one story and they were like, if we can't come to an understanding, then we just won't do it.
And I'm curious, pulling
really adult.
And I'm very curious, this individual used witchcraft or Satanism as examples. I'm very curious if those groups have ever attempted to actually do an invitation.
That's what I wonder too.
Like, those are very specific things.
Yeah.
He didn't call out other religions.
He has said this before he is frightened that a witch or Satanist will.
I don't know. I mean, that's a very specific thing to call out. I'd be very curious to see if somebody's actually tried to apply.
I would too. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Fun fact, there is a religion in Australia that is called Jedi. And I do know service members that have joined that on their dog tags, it says Jedi.
I feel like I've heard that.
It is a thing.
I wonder if Pastor Van Noy would be okay with Jedi Jedis? Giving the invocation.
Feel. Don't think. Trust your instincts.
Trust your instincts.
Feel the force. I wish I knew the Obi-Wan quote off the top of my head. It binds us. It penetrates us. It's all around us.
Or a Yoda
binds quote. It binds the universe together. That's my old Obi-Wan voice. That's not the young Obi-Wan voice. Hello there.
I almost tried a Yoda voice and I immediately... Nope, we're not doing the Yoda voice. Okay.
It's tough for a woman to do a Star Wars thing because, like, until episode one, there was canonically only one woman in the Star Wars universe. Sorry, two. Mon Mothma came in...
Made a slight appearance. Yeah. But
Seth MacFarlane makes
Princess Leia.
Seth MacFarlane makes that joke in the true spoofs. Uh-huh. What does he call them? Blue Harvest or something like that.
Yes, right. Yeah. Yes.
Whatever.
Blue Harvest.
It's like, I don't know. There's only one woman in the entire galaxy. So.
Oh no. Love Princess Leia. Mm-hmm.
Emma Mothma from time to time.
Yes.
Best Blinds and Awnings has been the premier business for window treatments in Spokane and North Idaho since 1999. What a great year. With options from window shutters to sunshades to vertical blinds and everything in between, owner Jason and his team continually exceed customer expectations to provide the best blinds and outdoor awnings for your home. Awnings are in stock now, so don't miss out on enhancing your outdoor space. Call 208-664-5858 and mention the podcast today. It's a new ad. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Best Blinds and Awnings. Happy to have you on the show. Mm-hmm. All right, moving into Monday, June 6th, 1944. No, just kidding.
1999.
I was a huge history buff growing up, so I knew all about D-Day and everything like that. So, all right, moving on. Normal housing market on horizon. This by Bibioli. The once screaming hot Idaho housing market seems to be losing its steam. Quote, I think we're headed toward a more normal market, said Chad Oakland with Northwest Realty Group. According to Redfin, a real estate brokerage, 41% of Boise home sellers dropped their prices in April. Many sellers in Coeur d'Alene are doing the same, Oakland said, as rising mortgage interest rates to more than 5% have given buyers good reason to pause. Quote, takes a lot of buying power from people, Oakland said Friday. And it is bringing prices down. Rocket Homes reported that the median home price in May in Kootenai County was $521,000, down 30% from a month ago. The asking price for One Dalton Gardens' five-bedroom, 2,500-square-foot home was reduced to $949,000 on Friday. Multiple offers are no longer flying fast and furious on every new home on the market. People have stopped buying homes sight unseen, which has caught sellers by surprise. I just can't. There's no way that I could buy a place. Never seen it before. Don't know. Buy it. Done. Crazy to me.
Yeah, that is
so crazy
to me.
One contributing factor is pricing. According to a recent analysis from Moody's, Coeur d'Alene was the seventh in a list of most overvalued markets with prices of 56% overpriced. Boise was number one at 73% overvalue. According to the Coeur d'Alene Regional Realtors, the median home price in Kootenai County was $549,950 in April, up nearly 25% from the previous year. Just 6 months ago in December, the median price of a Kootenai County home was $480,000. That's
great.
Yeah, great. That's totally, totally realistic for most people.
Oh, Lindsay, $480,000? Easy peasy.
Yeah, I got that. I got that tucked away. It's not a problem. Lindsay Allen, president of the Coeur d'Alene Regional Realtors, said interest rates are having the biggest impact on the housing market. Quote, it cuts more people out, especially in the affordable price range, she said. Oakland said there is still buying power out there and that there are still multiple offers on some homes, but those cases tend to be in niche markets like downtown Coeur d'Alene or around Lake Coeur d'Alene. And that's, I feel like, even outside of this boom, that's always been the case.
Definitely.
And inventory is growing. According to the Coeur d'Alene Regional Realtors, there were 160 homes on the market in Kootenai County in January. In February, it was 192. In March, 289. In April, 441.
What?
May numbers were not available on Friday. Quote, it is impossible to underprice a house, Oakland said. It's super easy to overprice it.
Uh-huh.
Oakland expects to see less competition for new inventory coming on the market. He said he does not believe that there will be a major downturn in the housing market, quote, but maybe slight price adjustments with more choices for buyers and longer market times.
Huh. Well,
anything to say, Molly?
Oh, I have things to say.
Yeah, me too.
It's just frustrating.
Tell me about Community Invite to Discuss Youth Mental Health.
I will. Okay. All right. Moving on to why in the world do people need any mental health help? I don't know. But the public is invited to participate in a youth mental health forum from 6 to 8 p.m. June 14th in the Lake City High School Library, 6101 North Ramsey Road, Coeur d'Alene. The forum is hosted by Communities for Youth, an Idaho-based nonprofit that is bringing similar discussions to communities throughout the state. Keith Orchard, mental health coordinator for the Coeur d'Alene School District, said today's kids are definitely stressed. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Kids of all ages regularly visit his office and express worries, he said, about everything from school to family issues to world events. Quote, when the world isn't predictable, it's stressful. Basic routines are being changed and there is more anxiety and depression. Parents and community members are encouraged to join in the roundtable forum discussion about how to support mental health for students. The format will be intimate, with small groups at each table with a facilitator who will prompt the conversation with questions. There is no planned presentation. Rather, the goal is to hear from the community what youth mental health issues most concern them. The feedback gained will be analyzed and outcomes reported back to the community sometime in the fall. This is the first forum of its kind the school district has been a part of, Orchard said. Previously, most mental health outreaches involved a speaker or had limited time allotted to hear from the community. For more information, visit communitiesforyouth.org. Well, I do think this is a wonderful idea. I think speaking about mental health, I am a big advocate for. I feel like I openly speak about my mental health struggles a good amount.
Mm-hmm.
And I think speaking about it is making awareness. Awareness, it helps you feel less alone, especially as a youth when you feel like you are the only one that is struggling with those issues, just to come together with a group and realize, oh, I am not the only one struggling with this. There are many other people that are struggling, and we can all, you know what? We can all work together and maybe achieve world peace. Thank you.
All right. Now that you've heard both Molly and I's pitch for Miss America.
Yes, thank you.
In this episode, yeah. Moving on, Tuesday, June 7th headlines, levy possible for CDA schools. This is by Devin Weeks. A school plant facilities levy could soon be coming to residents in the Coeur d'Alene School District. A swift timeline would be necessary to tackle a number of items on the district's deferred maintenance backlog, which is $25 million today and expects to grow to $68 million by 2027 if repairs are not made. The levy would establish a pool of funds for deferred maintenance projects and school safety needs, which at this time have no established funding source. Deferred maintenance includes air heating and cooling system upgrades, roof repairs, paving work, replacing hot water heaters, new carpeting, drinking fountains, alarm systems, and security cameras. Quote, "We are just struggling all around, not only with facilities, but with staffing," Coeur d'Alene Superintendent Sean Hawker said on Monday during the school board meeting. He recommended the board immediately move forward with the facilities levy rather than wait because the district's maintenance and operations levy will be up for a vote in March. Quote, "I don't think we should go to our community asking for both at the same time," he said. "I think that's a lot to bite off for any community member, and I think we need to be more specific. I also think that, in good conscience to our community, we can address some of these safety and maintenance challenges in our community earlier rather than later. A school plant facilities levy is a property tax levy. Voters decide whether to approve or allow the district to levy a set amount each year for up to 10 years. Quote, "It's an aggressive timeline," Hawker said to the trustees. "You would have to, as a board member, formally approve some sort of an SPFL, rather, sorry about that, whatever that number would be, and that has to be presented to the county for the ballot by July 11th. Hawker made his recommendation after a presentation made by members of the district's long-range planning committee, who found deferred maintenance projects to be the district's number one priority after several meetings and site visits. The board is expected to have more discussion and make a decision about a facilities levy in the next few weeks. If board members move forward with the levy, the election would be held August 30th.
All right. Whoop, whoop.
Got to get money somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. "Gray days have silver lining," is by Bill Bewley. "A cool, wet spring might not have done much good for outdoor recreation, but it did wonders for North Idaho's water supply outlook." Mm-hmm. Peter Youngblood, hydrologist with the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service Snow Survey Office.
Whoa.
Wow, how do I get a title like that? That was
really good. That was really good, though. You handled it like a champ. Yeah.
Said Monday that all drought designations for the panhandle have been removed. Along with a still strong snowpack and above average summer stream flow forecast, water worries in North Idaho have evaporated.
That's good. Good one, Bill.
Quote, "It's all good news," Youngblood said. According to the NRCS Idaho Water Supply Outlook released Monday, quote, "continuation of wet and cold spring conditions have improved water supply across the state by increasing natural stream flow, delaying and or diminishing irrigation deliveries, and postponing mountain snowpack melting," the outlook said. "Median peak snowpack in the panhandle was about 90%, which is excellent for this time of year. The snow water equivalent for the panhandle was above 100%. The stream flow forecast for the panhandle basins is above normal through the end of September. It ranged from 115 to 150% of normal. Quote, "It's looking really good right now." While areas of southern Idaho remain in drought, conditions are improving there too. May precipitation was near to well above normal across most of Idaho. Boise Basin was the wettest at 217% of normal precipitation, and the Panhandle was 150% of normal.
Okay.
Many basins have reached near normal to slightly above normal total water year precipitation levels. Quote, "Water supply conditions continue to improve since the April 1st assessment. The wet spring conditions have increased natural flow in the rivers. Increased runoff into reservoirs have improved soil moisture conditions, and in some places have delayed or decreased irrigation deliveries. Lake Coeur d'Alene was about normal at 2,128 feet as of Monday afternoon. Flood stage is 2,133. Reservoir levels are below normal across much of Idaho. Total reservoir storage in the Upper Snake system above American Falls Dam is 58% full and well below normal at 76% of average storage on June 1st.
That's not bad.
Magic Reservoir storage is at 31% of normal. The Boise Reservoir system was currently 98% of normal and continues to fill.
Pretty good.
Lake Coeur d'Alene and Lake Pendere were about 90% of normal. Youngblood said if there is a concern, it is that a cool, rainy spring results in plants growing rapidly in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
If they are dried out by a long, hot summer, it could cause higher than normal wildfire season.
Oh, I don't like that.
Quote,
yeah.
"Right now, conditions do not suggest that is going to be the case."
Well, that's good.
That's what I keep telling myself when we have these rainy, gloomy days.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, hopefully that, right, these cool, rainy spring.
I noticed it. I was over in Post Falls. I took care of my dad's yard recently, and literally 3 days later, it needed to be mowed again.
Right.
Like,
crazy. Oh, definitely.
Totally crazy. All right, moving on. Assessment appeal deadline looms. This is by Kay Thornbrew. Kootenai County property owners who are unsatisfied with their 2022 value assessments have just a few weeks to appeal. Property values have reportedly skyrocketed in Kootenai County, where some residential property owners have learned that the assessed values of their homes has increased by hundreds of thousands of dollars in 1 year. The total market value established by the assessor must be within 90% to 110% of the property's fair market value based on property sales information. If property values jump significantly in a single year, according to the assessor's office website, it could be because a physical inspection revealed significant improvements or because the property is located in a hot market with higher sales data. I'd probably go with the latter on that than the former. Before filing an appeal, property owners should first consider why they believe the value of their property is wrong. For example, does the property have some quality that would make its value significantly lower than others in the neighborhood? Conversely, does the property have improvements such as a shop, landscaping, or paving that might increase its value above others? Do the valuations of the property and any improvements to the property seem reasonable based on market sales in the neighborhood? Property owners can first contact the assessor's office and speak with an appraiser. To reach the assessor's office, call 208-446-1500 or email K, as in King, CASSR at kcgov.us. I mean, we've seen... They were just talking about this on a state level. Like, it's not just Kootenai County. It's property values are skyrocketing, so ergo your taxes
reflect that as well. I can't remember. Oh, my mom was just telling me about their taxes went. I can't remember the exact number, but she was surprised.
Yep. If you're looking for a refreshing locally made beer, check out Radio Brewing at 319 Main Street in Uptown Kellogg. The taproom is open 7 days a week. They offer delicious craft beer and awesome snack and food options. To learn more, visit RadioBrewingCompany.com. Radio Brewing, put radio in your mouth hole. Moves into Shoshone News Press headlines for Tuesday, June 7th. Headline, we're having a baby.
We are?
What? Huh? It's a perfect Tim Allen. This by Josh McDonald. Primal isn't necessarily the way most mothers would describe themselves, but for Casey Vincent, that word is now worn as a beautiful badge of honor. When Casey woke up this past Friday morning, she was pregnant and began her day as such. By the end of that day, she was no longer pregnant and had lived one of the wildest days that any of us could ever experience. Casey's sister-in-law, Tawny Vincent, was also in Casey's doula? Oh, mm-hmm. is also Casey's yes. doula, yeah. Had gotten into town the night before, and thankfully so, because her skill and expertise were going to be needed in just a few hours. Quote, she had been there and been my doula for my last birth, and we knew that we wanted her there again for this one, Casey said. After waking up and going through her morning routine, the contractions really got going, and it suddenly became apparent to Casey that a baby was coming, and quickly. Vincent, who self-admits to being more on the granola side of things, had planned for another water birth like she had done with her second child. So as the contractions kept coming, each one quicker than the last, Casey, her husband Austin, and Tawny got the truck loaded and were making their way down from their home in the Beaver Creek area near Enaville, where the situation became a sooner rather than later event. Tawny had told Austin to call ahead to the midwife at Day Spring Midwifery and tell them to get the tub ready for the birth because the baby is going to come quickly, and if they even make it there. That may have been the first time it was said out loud, but suddenly the gravity of the situation was very present. Austin wisely found his wife's instructions, and it was followed his wife's instructions, rather, and was almost instant as they merged onto traffic of I-90, Casey began feeling the urge to push. Tawny sprang into action, coaching Casey on breathing techniques that may help slow down any sort of labor and give them some extra time to make the drive. That did not work. Suddenly, Casey's water broke and everyone in the truck heard it. Casey's two daughters sat in the back, her three-year-old kind of oblivious to what was happening around her, but her five-year-old was aware that something was happening. And that wasn't supposed to be happening, that was unfolding in front of her. Quote, I was trying to comfort her between contractions, Casey recalled. I could see that she was worried and just tried to tell her that everything was going to be okay. Just before the Rose Lake exit, Tawny recognized that the time to push had arrived and there was no delaying it any longer, so she called it. Quote, baby's coming out. We need to pull over. Austin was about to pull off the freeway and had planned to call 911, but the realization that there was no cell phone service in the area prompted Tawny to tell him to keep driving and that there was no real time to waste. As the beginning of 4th of July pass loomed in the distance, Austin had an epiphany. Quote, "The boat check station. They should have a radio that they can call dispatch," Casey said. The boat inspection crew suddenly had a far more important task than what they were used to handling, but nevertheless, they stepped up. One of the ladies working there told Casey's daughter to the inspector's shack where they were kept comfortable with popsicles and coloring books. The rest of the crew stayed on hand if anything was needed. The plan was to get Casey out of the front seat and into the back seat to have the baby, but as soon as she found herself next to the truck waiting to be held into the helped into the back, it became very evident she wasn't moving anywhere until the baby was born. Quote, "There I am next to the truck squatting, and Tawny and Austin helped me undress my lower half, and I was just bearing down," Casey said. "I can remember Tawny calling for towels, as well as telling Austin, do not let me drop this baby."
Oh my God.
"She's standing behind me, coaching me how to breathe and to push, and then she caught the baby." Crazy.
Right.
Prior to the baby, Casey and Austin elected to not find out the sex of the baby, but in the moment right after around 9 a.m., Calvin Scott Vincent made his grand debut into the world. Tawny patted the baby to encourage him to begin crying in an effort to clear his lungs and get him breathing on his own. In the meantime, Casey is now taking her top layers of clothing off so that she and Calvin could share the important skin-to-skin contact, which is probably even more important than when the baby is born on the side of the road in the morning hours of what has been the coldest stretch of late May and early in June in recent history. Quote, "I have no shame. You really don't care in those moments at all," Casey said. "There's a there I am, totally naked, holding this baby that I just gave birth to." A blanket and chair were brought over so Casey could sit and hold Calvin and kept him safe from the elements, and before too long, the ambulance arrived. Clocking in at 7 pounds, 5 ounces, and 21 inches long, Calvin and his brave mama are perfectly fine and healthy. Calvin's sister are adjusting to life with their new brother, and Austin is happy that the odds have entered out a little bit now that the little fella has arrived. Casey believes that Calvin's birth certificate reads Cataldo Way Station, which will probably lead to several laughs from him and his family for the rest of their lives. Quote, "I think it was that he was just so excited to see me that I couldn't wait any longer," Casey said with a laugh. Despite what sounds like a very arduous experience, Casey's very thankful. She's thankful for her husband and her sister-in-law for being strong in a scary moment. She's thankful for the workers at the check station who did everything they could to make sure that this was a safe and comfortable, as well as take care of their daughters and when she and Austin could not. Her thankfulness is tied directly to her faith. As far as Casey is concerned, the granola mom bar has been set pretty high. And for you, Mr. Calvin, welcome to the world. What a story.
Yeah, I listened to Josh interview this woman yesterday, and as someone who has never had a child and is somewhat fearful of having a child, mm-hmm. my goodness, this woman, I mean, yeah,
More power to you, Casey.
I am, yes, Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. This woman is, I mean, I think part of it, yeah, they were just kind of like, yep, this is happening. This is going to happen. You know, she wasn't like, no, I'm getting to a hospital. No, this nope. is it. She was like, all right, this is what's going to happen. And that's cool. This is not how I would ever want to potentially. However,
sometimes you don't have that choice.
You obviously don't have that choice. And sometimes I do think, I mean, pretty cool birth, though.
Yeah. Great story. Worked out well, great story.
Exactly. Yep. Baby's healthy, mom's healthy. The fact that, like, they stopped at the way station and the people, like, took care of them, mm-hmm. too. It's just a wholesome story.
Very cool.
I love it.
Very cool. Watts Appliance has been providing incomparable customer service to the Silver Valley for over 50 years. The family-owned and operated business has a wealth of knowledge regarding appliances and the brands they sell. Whether you're in need of a new washing machine or have questions about refrigerators, Watts Appliance is ready to help. Visit wattsappliance.com or stop by and visit at 3 North Division Street in Pinehurst. Molly, what do we got?
All right. We've got 25 years of riding the wall. Gear up and celebrate the summer solstice with the 25th annual Ride the Wall bike event. Those wishing to register should hurry if they want to get the discounted price because it's going to go up in just a few days. The ride itself is a non-competitive 13-mile bicycle ride that starts at the Eneville Trailhead to the Snake Pit, on the gorgeous Trail of the Coeur d'Alenes from Eneville to Cataldo, and then onto the historic CCC Wall Ridge route, following the scenic road that winds along and above the Coeur d'Alene River, beginning beginning at Cataldo and ending at Enaville on the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene River. This is a family event and is inviting those who want to walk, with or without walkers, and those in wheelchairs. 25 years ago, when the Trail of the Coeur d'Alenes was beginning to be paved, members of the recreational community held a meeting at the Snake Pit in Enaville and created what was originally called Bridge the Years and eventually turned into Ride the Wall. They would bridge between the oldest buildings in the area, starting at the Mission, rode on the gravel to Cataldo, and then across and up the Wall Ridge and down to the Snake Pit. Judy Blalock, who works with the Silver Valley Fuller Center for Housing, which all proceeds for the event will go, has attended the ride for all 25 years. The event was later moved to the Snake Pit once the trail was completely paved. In 2012, Joe Peek, the owner of the Snake Pit, passed, and the Snake Pit was unfortunately closed for a few years. They were about ready to call it quits because it wasn't generating enough people to warrant keeping it going. The community spoke up, and they wanted to keep it going and give their support. Tom Richards eventually bought the Snake Pit and was supportive of the event. The COVID-19 pandemic also created hardship for the event, but that did not stop the organizers from riding. Quote, for 2 years, we did a virtual ride, which at least kept the date. People could sign up and ride anywhere, and they received a virtual ride t-shirt. At the time, it was only logical that we would invite anybody to join us, whether they were biking or not. Through the hardship and losses, the event continues on strong and most years has a rough average of about 50 riders. Check-in for the event is Tuesday, June 21st from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Snake Pit Outdoor Pavilion, with the ride beginning at 6. Early registration is $45, payable to Silver Valley Fuller Center for Housing, registering before June 14th, which also guarantees an event t-shirt and a barbecue dinner. After June 14th, those who want to register can for $50 and can also register in person from 1 to 3 p.m. You can find more about the event at www.svfch.org or contact Fuller Center for Housing at 208-682-3240.
Molly did an awesome job on that story.
Thank you. Have you done this before, Chance?
I've written about it once or twice.
Have you done the ride?
I have not done the ride, okay, yet, I've covered it many times.
Yeah. I have not done the ride. My parents were just talking about it. I think they've done it at least once.
Might be fun.
I know. It could be fun.
On rollerblades, especially.
I did say that. Whoa. You know, she did say when I talked with Judy Blalock, she said they are inviting people to walk. She said skateboard, and I said, well, I've got some rollerblades, and she said, yeah, bring them down. Yep. So Chance and I might be biking the wall, blade in the wall.
Fantastic. Home of the lowest prices in all things outdoors since 1975, Black Sheep Sporting Goods is your one-stop shop for all your camping, fishing, hunting, and clothing needs. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check out Black Sheep's new location in the Silver Lake Mall. Be sure to also check out www.blacksheepidaho.com and receive free shipping on all orders over $100. Black Sheep Sporting Goods, celebrating 45 years as your favorite sporting goods store. That takes us north to the Bonner County Daily Bee out of Sandpoint. Headline, Saturday, June 4th. Retrial ordered in murder case. This by Nisa Keith. A Segal man convicted of second-degree murder will get a new trial after the Idaho Supreme Court vacated his original conviction, citing conflicting jury instructions. That's definitely the definition of a technicality.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Ryan McDermott, 50, was sentenced to 12 to 25 years in the March 2019 shooting death of Robert Cameron Hedgeseth Wahali. Mm-hmm. Woo! He was convicted in October 2019 and sentenced on December 3rd, 2019. The Idaho Supreme Court vacated McDermott's conviction of the fatal shooting, siding with McDermott's argument that jury's instructions contained insufficient information on the definition of malice. McDermott posted a $500,000 property bond on April 20th, and was subsequently released from Bonner County Jail later that day. McDermott will have to adhere to a number of conditions, including wearing a GPS monitor, remain in the county except for medical emergencies or to meet with his attorney, adhere to drug and alcohol testing, abstain from contact with Alicia Flynn, Flynn and anyone on probation or parole and not commit any new criminal offenses. So essentially house arrest.
Mm-hmm.
According to court documents, on the day of the shooting, McDermott went to Alicia Flynn's residence to obtain methamphetamine and observed a male within the RV trailer.
Oh.
When McDermott asked Flynn who it was, court records indicate she told him that it was, quote, none of his business. McDermott slammed Flynn's head against the door of the trailer, causing her to fall to the floor. According to court documents, Hedgeworth Wally identified himself, and McDermott exited the trailer, shutting the door behind him. Hegseth Wahali exited the trailer wielding a double-sided axe.
Whoa!
McDermott then shot him through the heart, killing the 26-year-old in minutes.
Okay.
Axe versus gun, not great, but sounds like meth was involved in this as well. Following the shooting, Flynn alerted a nearby resident of Great Northern Road to the shooting, but the residents waited for an undetermined amount of time before contacting law enforcement. Okay. In Flynn's testimony, she said neither she nor McDermott informed law enforcement because they did not have access to a phone. Okay. The two took Hegseth Wahali's body to Gold Hill, where they buried him in a makeshift grave, according to court documents.
Guys.
That's a not great.
This is a lot of
The decision-making here is really not fantastic. McDermott was arrested in connection to the killing on April 15th, 2019. He was later sentenced in First District Court in December 2019 for second-degree murder to 12 to 25 years in prison. McDermott appealed to the state high court, contending the jury was given instructions that put him at a distinct disadvantage during the trial. Justices sided with McDermott, stating that their ruling on March 21st, 2022, that, quote, the district court abused its discretion when it gave the jury an additional improper malice instruction. The matter will be seen once again in First District Court. A five-day jury trial is scheduled for September 12th, 2022. Okay, well.
Wow.
The wheels of justice, they don't necessarily move quickly, but if he shot this person, which it sounds like he did.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah, probably should spend some time in jail.
This whole story, it's just a lot of...
Yeah, and also don't do drugs.
Decisions.
Stop doing drugs.
Don't do the meth.
Wow. That's
my new country song. Yeah, I think my new hit single is going to be called Don't Do the Meth. Thank you. By MC Smalls.
By MC Smalls. Wow. All right, you guys keep an eye out for that album.
Keep an eye out for the... But first, we're going to move on to Council Approves Watershed Trail Deal. This is by Beau White Eagle. City Council voted to renew the Watershed Trails license agreement between the city and Ponderay Peddlers at the meeting on Wednesday. At Wednesday's council meeting, Parks and Planning Development Manager Maeve Levins-Lavtar presented the revised agreement for the council to vote on, which would maintain POP as the stewards of the trails within Little Sand Creek Watershed, a position the organization has held since 2015. POP is a local trail preservation organization that started as a bicycle club in 2004. Since then, the club has turned into a nonprofit organization working with the preservation and maintenance of existing bicycle trails and other trails used for recreation. The agreement will see POP working with the city on the maintenance of trails and the city and POP inspecting trails to assess the conditions. Afterward, POP will submit a maintenance management plan for the city's approval. The plan will be made and submitted with the intention of focusing on seasonal cleanup and a priority list based on prioritizing criteria established by the U.S. Forest Service. While this agreement is meant to cover a year-long period, Levins-Lavtar said this agreement will be replaced by a whole new agreement upon the completion of the Recreation Master Plan, as it will include recommendations from the plan. In her presentations, Levins-Lavtar gave the council the highlights of the revision, which included a tiered plan submitted by POP. The first tier will cover high-priority projects, and the second will cover projects as they pop up, as the second tier will require inspections of the area in question. Following the presentation, the council approved the license agreement before expressing gratitude to POP and Levins-Lavtar for their work. Quote, I have been waiting so long to have somebody like you here who is putting all the pieces together. I'm excited for you, Councilmember Kate McAllister said. It seems like you're very excited about this piece of your job. This is 400 plus volunteer hours that contributes to $12,000 this year and almost $84,000 year to date, Councilman Andy Grote said.
I'll tell you what, Kate McAllister needs to keep an eye on Kevin a little more.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
That is a Home Alone reference.
Home Alone.
Yeah, if you didn't catch that. On those busy school nights with hours of sports practice and dance class, when you just don't have time to make dinner, your local McDonald's has got the whole family covered. Whether you get a Happy Meal with Chicken McNuggets for the kids or a Big Mac for the adults, dinner is sure to be quick, easy, stress-free, and satisfying. Your locally owned and operated McDonald's is located at 820 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Takes into Sunday, June 5th headlines. Citizen Soldier. More than 26 years ago, Ryan Robinson accepted his commission in the Idaho Army National Guard. Thursday, the Sandpoint resident returned to the Idaho Capitol, where he was promoted to Brigadier General by Governor Brad Little. Robinson will serve as the director of the Joint Staff for the Idaho Military Division, according to a press release from the Idaho National Guard. The Joint Staff proactively coordinates plans and exercises for notice and no-notice events that would adversely affect the population and facilities in the state of Idaho, National Guard officials said in the release. Much of his Guard career has been spent in North Idaho as a part-time citizen soldier while working in corporate finance. He has deployed to Iraq twice and in 2011 earned the Bronze Star for meritorious service in a combat zone. Robinson earned his commission in May of 1996 through Boise State University, really his only shortcoming, in my opinion, after graduating high school at Lake Stevens High School in Lake Stevens, Washington, where his parents still live. He became a quartermaster officer and was assigned as a platoon leader with A Company, 145th Brigade Support Battalion in Caldwell. After serving in the Washington Army National Guard for 4 years until 2021, Robinson transferred back to the Idaho Army National Guard. He would spend the next 15 years of his career in various positions in North Idaho, including as the 116th Engineer Battalion's logistics officer in Lewiston from 2001 to 2003. He was then appointed company commander of C Company, 116th Brigade Engineer Battalion in Post Falls, which required him to become qualified as an engineer officer. As commander, he prepared his company for the 116th Cavalry Brigade Combat Team's 2004 deployment to Iraq in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom 3, and was promoted to captain. However, an injury sustained while training kept him from deploying with his troops. Robinson later joined up with the brigade in Iraq as the battalion's communications officer and was assigned to the Economic Development Officer for Northern Iraq. Interesting. Robinson used his expertise in finance and economic development to advise Iraqis on how to build and run business centers and separate a microfinance center. A few years later, Robinson returned to Iraq in 2006 and worked with the State Department to help build 6 additional business centers. He would be deployed to Iraq again in 2010 in support of Operation New Dawn after the 116th Engineer Battalion transitioned to the 145th Brigade Support Battalion, National Guard officials said. As a major, Robinson was assigned as the battalion's executive officer and served as the garrison command's resource manager in Baghdad while deployed. After his command tour ended, Robinson became the chief of the Joint Staff of the National Guard, officials said. He also served as the director of domestic operations and has completed the Defense Support to Civil Authority course, the Joint Task Force Commander's course, and the Dual Status Commander's course, and graduated from the National Defense University. Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Very cool.
That's great.
That is super cool. All right, what else we got?
City awards GN Road repair bid. This is by Beau White Eagle. The city has awarded $141,335 bid to Woods Crushing and Hauling, Inc. to repair Great Northern Road. The project will replace 1,300 It is 1,300 feet and the full width of the road starting north of Gooby Road. I love Gooby Road. Infrastructure and Development Service Director Amanda Wilson told the council the project was necessary due to the poor condition of that stretch of the road. Quote, I can certainly speak for our entire street crew as well as many other city staff that its current conditions are embarrassing. Mm. A high traffic area for industrial businesses and residents, Wilson said that the road has taken such significant damage due to the excessive amount of groundwater, which caused the substandard roadway to fail. Quote, they are simply beyond repair without a more significant effort, Wilson said. We can't simply just go and patch them. Details for the plans of repair outlined in the bid from Woods Hauling and Crushing Inc. include destroying the existing asphalt and replacing it with new aggregate base and new asphalt top. The work will have roadway closures with detours due to the high traffic for a projected 5 days and is expected to be completed by July 15th. The bid proposed by Woods Crushing and Hauling Inc. was one of three proposed, one of which was denied and one of two considered. When evaluated, Woods had the lowest bid, coming in at $141,335, which includes a $5,000 incentive to complete the project by July 17th. Although a necessity, Wilson said that these repairs are temporary as they are a result of a drainage issue. An issue that will be tackled in the larger major corridor improvement project will be a projected $18 million project. That project will see not only the repair and reshaping of Great Northern Road, but a much larger stretch of road starting from Baldy Mountain Road to Woodland Drive. Resolving the drainage and utility issues along a 1.3-mile stretch will be the purpose of the project, which was identified as a need in 2010. The plan for the project includes wider lanes, foot and bike lanes, and addressing the drainage issue.
All right. Well, glad those folks that use Gooby Road.
Gooby!
What if I really want to know the beginnings and how
of Gooby Road.
Gooby Road. I want to know why Gooby Road is named Gooby Road. Very curious. If anybody knows, let
us
know.
Bo White Eagle, I cannot give you an assignment, but if you want.
If you were just kind-hearted.
Do a little research on the Gooby Road.
Definitely
and want to
know about Gooby. I'm assuming that somebody was a Goofy Goober.
I'm a Goofy Goober, yeah.
We are getting all over the place with our references today. That was a SpongeBob movie reference.
SpongeBob movie. Mm-hmm. You're right. It's not only the show, it's the SpongeBob movie.
Yep.
With
absolutely.
David Hasselhoff.
Yep. All right, rounding out the show, Tuesday, June 7th, headlines from Sandpoint. Pair suspected in Friday burglary, this by Nisa Keith. Two Bonner County residents are being implicated in the early morning robbery Friday of the Hoodoo Creek Cafe and Market.
No, don't do it.
One suspect, Joanne Ruth Holderman, 26, is detained at the Bonner County Jail, while the other suspect, a male, has yet to be booked into jail or charged in connection with the burglary. In the early morning hours on Friday, the duo were captured on security camera footage walking on Vay Road before approaching the cafe. According to court documents, the male was seen cutting the telecommunication line shortly before the cafe's security cameras stopped recording. The deadbolt on the side door of the cafe was still in the locked position. However, the door and its frame sustained damage, according to reports by law enforcement in court documents. The store owner reported a missing cash register containing $229, in addition to $1,266 of stolen tobacco products.
Aye, aye, aye.
While law enforcement was en route to the scene, the store owner called once more to report that he was talking to two individuals who admitted to taking the items.
Oh.
That's seems counterproductive. Ooh, like, if I'm trying to get away with something.
I took this!
Yeah.
Leave me alone!
Idaho State Police Trooper Alex Glock. His name is not Alex Glock.
Glock? All right.
Trooper Glock has one of the most fitting names for... Yeah, that can't be...
Trooper Glock!
And you know what? Since they are the standard issue, I bet he does carry a Glock.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's...
Glock.
There's so many Glock. Heard yelling when arrived at the scene. Upon getting closer to the voices, he saw the store owner conversing with two individuals. The male, who was wearing a full face mask, began running up a hill upon seeing law enforcement. Glock began running after him while yelling commands at the male to stop. While engaging in the foot chase, Glock observed that the male was holding a machete.
Whoa!
Machete versus Glock, though. What? I mean, I don't know how that's going to go over.
What is happening?
I feel like Glock could use his Glock, and machetes don't necessarily go well again. Glock chose to stop chasing the man at this point because he was the only law enforcement unit at the scene at the time, according to court documents. Backup arrived shortly after, implementing K-9 and drone units in an effort to locate the male. Efforts were unsuccessful, however. Three Nixle alerts were issued by the Bonner County Sheriff's Office on Friday afternoon, urging people to be on the lookout for the suspect in the Vay area. That suspect was described in the Nixle alert as being about 5'11 and weighing 200 pounds. As of Monday, there are no court records charging a male in connection to the robbery. Oh, Holderman was charged with counts of burglary and grand theft before being booked into the Bonner County Jail. She has six other criminal cases in Idaho for charges of unlawful entry, grand theft, and burglary. Anyone with information is encouraged to report it by calling dispatch at 208-265-5525.
Wow. Some more bad decisions.
Yeah,
here.
Don't for admit
one,
to
going
it.
Going to like a mom and pop shop.
Why would you rob them?
For what? For $229 and a bunch of tobacco? Don't rob anybody.
Don't rob anybody.
No,
but mom and pop diner.
A mom and pop diner. Come on, with a machete?
With a machete too.
What's happening?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Thankfully,
put your machetes away. Put your two-sided axes away,
yeah.
And just give each other.
Thankfully,
a big
Trooper
hug.
Glock didn't have to use his Glock. So
yes, that
is good.
Oh my goodness gracious!
All right, I'm so happy that we're ending with this story and that you're reading it.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. I am excited. Mm-hmm. Go back in time with Renaissance Fair. I will go back in time with Renaissance Fair. This is by Bo White Eagle. Prepare for merriment, as the Sandpoint Renaissance Fair is setting to return to the community to the days of yore.
I liked your accent when you had it.
Thank you. The fair takes participants and attendees back to approximately 1583, a time when England was ruled by the previous longest-running Queen Elizabeth I, the daughter of King Henry VIII. The firstborn child of Queen Anne Boleyn. Her Majesty much preferred revelry.
Her Majesty?
Her Majesty much preferred revelry of arts, theatre, music, and dance. The celebrated Queen was also known for avoiding marriage matters by Parliament and remaining a virgin queen, all while befriending some of the world's most historical and greatest pirates just before the destruction of the Spanish Armada in 1588. Wow.
I'm liking the history.
Okay, I do like that. The Renaissance Fair is a chance for locals to come together and enjoy a time long since past. The fair invites the community to feel the vibrance of the era by enjoying the liveliness, laughing, and basking in one of the history's most well-known periods. Event organizer Tanya Anderson said attendees can partake of the day by eating fine foods, drinking the best wines and ales, and of course, enjoying the merriment. All of which are reminiscent of the era. Events and activities will include a visit to Pirate Cove, the home of the Blind Pew. Ooh. For a few small tokens, Pirate Cove will give festival goers a chance to take part in a pirate game, following a treasure map to a prize. Nearby, attendees will have a chance to visit Weasel to learn how to throw an axe like a medieval master.
Woo-hoo.
Adults 21 and up can drink and be merry at the ale house, where one can quench thy thirst and ye ale be served by wench. The ale, approved by the Queen's guards, will run by the veteran of foreign wars, post 2453, which proceeds donated to help veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. The Ren Fair will also be donating to the Bonner Community Food Bank. Adult festival goers will be able to enter the festival at a discounted ticket price when donating a bag of canned food. Children will be able to enjoy the fairy realm hosted by three flower fairies. I want to enjoy the fairy realm. Performances will take place throughout the weekend from mini performers, including Wild Heart Equestrian, Vertical Elements, and of course, Queen Elizabeth I herself?
She'll be there herself?
What? With a court of ladies and royal guards will also make an appearance.
I feel like this should be larger news. Queen Elizabeth I!
Is this like a zombie situation? A ghost situation? What's happening here? I am curious. The fair will be held from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. June 11th through 12th at the Bonner County Fairgrounds, 4203 North Boyer Road in Sandpoint. The event will feature more than 30 vendors, including 10 food vendors. Attire can be time period or current century daily wear. Tickets are $15 for adults or $13 with a donation to the food bank, and $10 for seniors, children between the ages of 5 and 17, children 4 years and under, will be admitted free.
I'm totally all about this.
I am too. If we can make it happen Sunday, we'll see. Saturday, we're a little busy,
but Saturday's gonna be busy, but I think
We might have to do a little Sunday appearance.
Might need to make a trip up to
Moscow had a Ren Fair.
Yes, Moscow had a good
and
one too.
I lived right next to that park when I lived there, and I do miss the Ren
Fair. They can be fun.
They are fun.
Once again, we'd like to thank Bank CDA for sponsoring this episode. Business loans are quick and easy when you work with the only local bank in North Idaho. You want local, you want flexible, you want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com. Molly, we ended on a great story.
We did end on a great story. Good, it's good. A beautiful day out, ladies and gentlemen.
Go enjoy it. Go enjoy it. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? You should go on to whatever podcatcher or music app that you have.
Yes, you should.
Subscribe to the show. And then while you're biking or rollerblading or doing whatever
throw
the headphones in.
That's right.
And listen to the show.
Listen to us. Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Later on, if you're really interested in any of the stories we talked about in the show, you can go to www.coeurdalanepress.com, shoshannewspress.com, bonnercountydailybee.com, or thebonnersferryherald.com. And you know what? While you're at it, jump over to the Facebook and give us a like.
Give us a like. Give us a little comment. Let us know what you think. Yep. Let us know that, you know.
All feedback is good.
All feedback is good.
Yep.
Although I will not read the bad ones. No, I'm just kidding. I will.
We will. We'll take them to heart.
We'll take them to heart.
Very much so. It'll ruin our day.
Probably our lives. We are very sensitive.
All right. All right, everybody. Thanks again.
Bye. See you later.